I just want to share two New Testament verses for our encouragement when we consider the children of Israel looking at the ark, and it's the ark that leads them. And as we've just been reminded, it isn't in anything that they could do, but it is in the power of Christ and what he has done and wrought at the cross of Calvary. Both verses from Hebrews. First of all, in chapter 2 and verse 9. There we read, "But we see Jesus." We see Jesus. This is the object. He is the object for the eye of faith. And it tells us who he is, what he's done. Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That's what we're speaking. He's going into death. We will see him crowned. We see him now, but I mean as far as our study in Joshua, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He's the one that entered into death. Then let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 comes after Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith, if you will, that the scripture gives to us. And then we come here to verse 2 of chapter 12, and it says to us, for our encouragement now, looking off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the object for us. He is the object of faith. He is the one who has redeemed us. He is the one who has entered into death for us. And now our eyes need to be fixed upon him who has completed the work. He's glorified in heaven, but he is the one who leads us on. So he is the guide for us, even as now he is for the people of Israel, the Ark of the Covenant, as they would go this way that they had not gone before. And this is where we find, even as we've been listening to in the evenings, obedience. This is faith. When the Lord says, this is the way you're going to go, we haven't gone this way before, but just keep your eye on me. It's the obedience of faith that simply has our eye fixed on him. And even though there's all this calamity around, we have the Jordan River, we have this death, how can we go through this? All that doesn't matter. Your eye is on me. I will lead you in the way you haven't gone before.
Just wanted to... had another reference. I think that Joshua spent a lot of time with Moses, as we've seen from the from previous. If you read the first five books or the last several books, you'll see that Joshua spent a lot of time with Moses, and I think that he learned several things from being with him. One of those things is to move and to follow the Lord as he would lead. And there's one point that strikingly comes to mind when Moses was speaking with God, and Moses said, if your presence does not carry us up, then don't take us. In other words, basically he's saying to the Lord, if you're not going to be the one guiding us and leading us in this way, then do not take us. And here Joshua is speaking to the people, and for a period of time they were following the cloud of the fire, the cloud by day and the fire by night, we know. And now they were following an ark, the Ark of the Covenant. And in that, we know, was, you know, representation of God's word. And I think that here, if you look at the end of verse 3, it says, then you shall move from your place. When it moves, you move. When it's not moving, you don't move. You don't run ahead of it. You don't stand still when it's moving. You follow it, as we've been saying. And I just by application, I wonder if there are times in our lives where we are thinking we're following the Lord, when we're reading his word, and he's leading in a certain way, but we don't move. He's calling us to do a certain thing, putting something specific on our heart to do, but we don't move. Or there are times when he's not telling us to move, and we're moving ahead of him. And I think the challenge is to, as it says here, when you see the Ark of the Covenant move, then you move. It's to follow the Lord, to know when he's moving and when he's not moving, when he's guiding us and when he's not. And to be like a Moses who said, if you are not going to carry, if your presence does not go with us, then don't carry us up. Here, they were moving into an area that was going to be occupied with wars, with battles, with death. There was a lot of things that were going to happen, and they did not know the way, as we've been saying. They did not go this way before, and yet they could trust God because they were following the Ark of the Covenant. They were following God's word. And I just wonder also how often we do things that we think are guided by this book, and we don't keep an eye on what this book says. We don't keep an eye on what this book says, and we don't follow the Lord. And here it says, you have not passed this way before. We don't even know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the enemy might have in mind for us. We don't know the challenges that he's going to set before us. We don't know the things that the Lord will allow to come into our lives. And so we hear the voice of the Lord saying very clearly, you have not gone this way before. Keep your eye on me. Follow my word. Be instructed by it. The Lord said, I will guide you with my eye in Psalm 32. What a wonderful privilege to be guided by the Lord, to be able to say, as he moves and directs, I will move. And if he's not moving, I'm going to do the difficult thing of standing still and waiting upon the Lord.
And just to underscore that, I just noticed when I read earlier, I read from the NIV translation. It's a little easier to follow sometimes, but something was lost in it. In verse 4, the order of the phrase is, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way. If they had not kept the distance, then they would not have known the way. If we don't depend on the Lord, if we're not dependent on him to actually do everything for us, then we don't know which way to go. If we're right next to him or even ahead of him, then we don't know which way he's actually moving.
Just a short comment in relation to what you said, David. It's the priests stand before the Jordan, and they were told to put their feet into the Jordan and then the water should stop. I mean, they must have been quite scared when they just stood before the Jordan, and there was still the flowing water, and they are told to just step into the water, and they may have thought, well, what happens now when I step into the water? But they had to do the first step, and then the water would stop. And I think we can applicate this quite easily to our lives when we get in order. Also, we have to do the first step, and then the Lord does it work, but it may be quite a challenge to do the first step.
Just a comment, too, on something that goes along with what Brother Loomis has been speaking about, going step by step with the Lord. And the distance is very, particular here. And every time the priest would take a step, the people of Israel would have to take a step in following it to keep that exact distance. Just a nice picture.
The following of Christ, where we see them following the ark and the distance, and I know we mentioned how small the object is, and at that distance, objects are very hard to see. At sea, they train for, if you have a man overboard, you never take your eyes off them, because once someone's in the water and you lose sight of them for an instant, they're almost impossible to find again. And so we see that this picture of this small object so far ahead of the people, they had to keep their eyes on it constantly. They couldn't lose it, or it would be difficult to find again. So you find this picture of, we have to be constantly with the Lord. If we take our eyes off the Lord for an instant, then it becomes so much more difficult to get back with him, as I'm sure many of us know from experience. We have to staying in walk with the Lord is constantly is the best way to stay with him.